Well, let's turn to Hebrews this morning. Are we still in chapter 11? I think so. You know, you'd think that was just a one-stop shop, you know, you could just kind of get in there and get out of there, but there's a lot in Hebrews chapter 11. We've been talking about it as the life of faith is kind of unfolding, right? As we've been reading through and studying through this whole experience of faith and what it means to have this life of faith. As we hit this portion beginning with verse 17, we kind of begin a portion until its conclusion that's kind of talking about people that would be very familiar to the Jewish culture. So those who were Jewish would know about these. These are kind of the leaders, the Jewish leaders, and throughout the history, historical figures that would be marked out and be known by them. And so they would be familiar with these characters, these individuals, not characters as in, you know, well, he's a real character. Some of them might have been, but not like that, but just more like characters, you know, individuals, people that they kind of look to and kind of would identify with, they would be familiar with. And so this idea of faith in this concept was very, very real to them. Now, one of the things that we learned in the back in verse 6, the beginning of verse 6 was, for without faith it is, exactly. So faith is obviously pretty important. I mean, I want to please God. You want to please God as sons and daughters of God. We want to please our dad. We want to be pleasing to God. So what does it mean to please God? And he says, well, it's important that we have an active life of faith. That means I'm actively trusting God, not only just for my salvation, but for my daily life, that I'm looking to God and believing on God for all things that are necessary for this life. Now we get into one of the patriarchs here, the father of our faith, so to speak, as far as he is quoted this way as scripture, because he believed God and then it was accounted to him, put into his account, righteousness. He, by faith, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is part of the wonderful belief system or the faith that we have. And again, it's not faith in faith. It's not faith in just the word concept of faith. It's actually, I'm putting my trust. I'm settling my life into the person of God, trusting him for everything. So it really, faith isn't just the word faith. It's really equivalent to trusting, really trusting God at his word. And so as we've read, some of the things we've read is interesting. It's not like it always went perfectly or the way they expected, and we'll see that today. It doesn't always go the way you expect, but that's part of the adventure. You know, it's important that we grasp the idea and the concept of adventure, you know, in the Lord. That the life of the journey is an adventure. It doesn't always, we kind of get our map and we kind of plot out our plan for exactly the way life's going to go. And then all of a sudden we start seeing all these other squiggles in there, you know. Hey, I was going this way and there's all these other squiggles on the map. And that's all part of the adventure though, as we trust God and we let God lead. So let's pick it up, verse 17. By faith, remember we kept hearing these things, by faith, by faith. By faith, we kind of keep getting this driven into our lives, by faith. What I like about faith is we didn't really get a definition of it, really. We kind of just got a talk a little bit in the very beginning, the first couple of verses of chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, we're believing on things yet unseen, that kind of thing. And so we kind of get an idea of what faith is in that sense. But it doesn't really give us a specific definition because I think faith is best defined as we read through. It's this outworking of what we believe. It's kind of that outworking of what I believe. If I really believe something to be true, I'm going to act upon what I believe, right? So it's kind of that idea of this outworking. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. You remember, God told him to go to this mountain. Mount Moriah, interesting. You can go down and you can go through the Temple Mount, and you can walk in through this little tunnel along the bottom of the Temple Mount. Some of us have done that. perfect timing to talk about this. We're going to have a little meeting afterwards today for anybody interested in going to Israel with us next year. But the idea is you can go along the Temple Mount. You can walk along. Remember as we walked along there? And that's the base. We saw the bedrock of Mount Moriah right there. You can put your hand right on it, the bedrock of Mount Moriah. The Temple Mount is built right there. The Dome of the Rock Mosque sits where it crests right there. This is why the Jewish people want it, and then the others say that Mohammed, you know, left from there or something of that sort. But we know what it's all about. Ultimately, it was that place where God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, up to Mount Moriah and offer him up there as a sacrifice. Now, can you imagine? This is his only kid. It's the son of promise, remember? They were past the childbearing years, but yet God gave them this child. Can you imagine that gift? And all of us, you know, that have children know that gift of the child that we have. And it's something that we just care for beyond measure. You know, we can't even express our heart and our love for our children. But that idea of the giving up that which was entrusted to by promise in that way, and Abraham and Sarah knew that was a special gift from God. You know, they knew that that was a very significant special gift. And now he's going up because God, why? Because he trusted God. Let's read on. And he who had received promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Putting that in there, that promise, that if that there is a future in him, that in Isaac there will be many more to come. So there's got to be a future in him. And so he says here, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense, in the sense they were both unable to have children, and yet God gave them this child. And then now he's saying, hey, we're going to give this back. God says to give it back. And so they were giving it back. But he believed, and you remember when he was up on the mountain there, you remember he was got the knife out, you know, he's walking up. Isaac wasn't a little kid. We get this in our minds like, you know, Abraham's walking up with his, you know, his little tot, you know. No, no. Abraham was an old dude, you know, right? He's 100 and maybe 20, 130 years old maybe at this point in time, and he's got his 30-year-old son with him. That's more the picture of this. Could easily be overtaken, right, by his son. And they're walking up the hill, and Isaac's going, hey, Dad, so, you know, we got the wood. You know, we got the fire. We got the, you know, where's the sacrifice? God himself will provide the sacrifice. And as we go on a little further, we find out it really says God himself. The sacrifice. They get up in there, and then all of a sudden, he gets out the knife, and he's puts him on the altar, and he's going to just sacrifice him, because that's what God told him to do. And all of a sudden, God says, no, 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 hold it. No need. Over there is the sacrifice. God provided himself the sacrifice. And there was a ram in the thicket. They got the ram out, sacrificed. He tells the guys below, when they left, he goes, the lad and I are going up, and we'll be back. See, he believed all along, no matter what happened, that God, if need be, God would raise him from the dead, if that was what it was going to take. He trusted God, even to that point of yielding up. Faith is a powerful thing. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So as you listen through this, think about what's happening. The trusted sacrifice of that which he treasured the most was entrusted back to God. You and I can never outgive God. Oh, how we hang on to the things that we think are ours. How we hang on, almost with a death grip sometimes, you know, just hanging on. And that's the problem. That's not faith. Faith is just open. Faith is open, trusting, letting God lead, letting God have his way. He blessed even concerning things toward the future. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau out into the future by faith, seeing things to come. Jacob then also by faith, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure. You remember the children of Israel, they were in Egypt during that time. And Joseph said, hey, look, don't leave my bones here when you leave. He tells them, hey, we're going to be leaving this place, and gave instructions concerning his bones. Again, a future statement out past what they could see. And it was all done by faith. Sometimes we do things kind of in a way of, hey, here's the money in the account. There it is. When I die, I guess it's yours. You know what I mean? But this isn't what he's talking about. He's saying, by faith, look, you're going to walk away from this, and you're going to be taken out of here. You know, they're not, when Joseph died, they're not in bondage at that point. They were in a good relationship with the nation of Egypt. But then all of a sudden, now he's gone. And all of a sudden, the bondage sets in. But they had the hope, didn't they, because of faith. Now, what did they need to do? They, as the people of God, by faith, needed to believe what one of their forefathers had stated by the power of God in faith. You start seeing how it all starts to fit together with faith. By faith, another patriarch, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command, because the king said, we want to eradicate those kids, the little Jewish kids. And said, by faith, Moses, in verse 24, when he came of age, remember how he's tucked away in that, they made this little ark-like thing, and they put him in that and sent him off into the, you know, reeds and waiting for the Pharaoh's daughter to go out and, you know, bathe and stuff. And then all of a sudden they hear the baby out in there, and then she finds the baby, and, you know, and Moses being spared. How wonderful and powerful a truth that is. And by faith they were doing that, believing that God had a purpose and a plan for their child, and entrusting this to the hands of God. When Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's an interesting statement, because we just read through that pretty quickly, refusing to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter. But that's like, you know, refusing to be called Prince of Wales, right? You get what I'm saying? It's like refusing this title, because what came with this title was all of the luxury of the land. It was a title that would be entrusted as a child of the ruler. And so that's what he is rejecting, the title that goes with it, that entitles him to all of the benefits of what goes with that title. So the Gulf Airstream, you know, that's gone. He's not going to be flying on the private jet anymore, the kingdom jet. He's not going to be, you know, driving the company Ferrari anymore. He's not going to, you get what I'm saying? He's just saying, no, I'm not getting all that. I'm going to walk away. Why is he going to walk away? Read on with me, because this gets very interesting. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. In other words, he chose a different identification than the things of this world. The temptation for all of us is so powerful, isn't it? To have this identification with the things of the world rather than the things of God. And so the idea is that we want to turn to an identification. When I say that, what do I mean by the things of the world? Well, just those things that we can acquire through worldly possessions, and wanting, seeing, and esteeming those of more value than the relationship with God. It's not having things that's a problem. It's those things possessing you. That's the problem. When those things begin to control you, now you're no longer under the control of God. You see, we want to be controlled by God and let God have charge of all those things. And we are then, as it's truly understood, just stewards of those things that were entrusted to us, right? Different concept, different understanding. But he would rather have the affliction, suffer affliction with the people of God, than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked for a reward. And this was the eternal reward of the relationship with God. That there was something past just this that we experience here on this side. There's something more. And this is all his, again, by faith. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Remember at the deliverance when they were delivered and taken out of Egypt, the Hebrew nation, the Hebrew people? Lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And how did he keep this Passover? How did he keep the Passover? It was by faith. The same way you and I keep communion and the way we keep a relationship with God is by faith. We're by faith appropriating the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and lintel of our hearts, that we are protected in that sense also from the angel of death, aren't we? In other words, this body will expire, but the soul, we go on into the spirit, we go on into the presence of God, right? And so that's that idea, that concept, and that is by faith that we do that. And then he says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. You remember? They were in this deep valley. They're up against the Red Sea, and in front of them, they've got to cross this great body of water. Behind them, on the backside of them, is the whole Egyptian army coming after them now. And so all they can do is go out and cross. They touch, the Lord told them, take your staff, touch the water parts. They cross on dry ground, you remember, all of them. And then what happened ultimately? Whereas the Egyptians, those from the world, attempting to do so, they drowned. They didn't make it. They couldn't make it. Read with me this first part, verse 21. How did they pass through the Red Sea? How did they do that? By faith they passed through. See, you and I will pass through. At some point in our journey of this, we were going to pass through. And we're going to pass through, and we're going to pass through by faith. The things that go on in life are by faith. By faith. The walls of Jericho. So now we know that they entered. How did they enter the promised land? They entered the same way that you and I enter into the life of the Spirit, right? By faith. We trust God, then believe on him. And they entered the promised land in this life of faith. The walls of Jericho fell down, this first fortified city that they came across as they got there. So, victory that they experienced in life's battles, just like you and I. The way we experience those victories is how? The same thing, by faith. You see, it's everything, as we go through this little list that's going to come up in just a minute, everything in life is tied to that faith relationship. If it's not of faith, it is likely of your own works and your own efforts. If it's not of faith, it is likely of your own works and your own efforts. And that has big limitations, doesn't it? And here we read, as he says, after they were encircled for 7 days, they walked around the wall. And this made no sense. This is not a military tactic. It's foolishness. Here, grab, get your lanterns, put them up under this thing, and then march around, And just march around. To me, I think a couple of things happen. One of the things that happens when you're marching around looking at the wall is one of the things that happens is you look at it and you realize, wow, that's quite a wall they got here. Really thick, really tall. You walk around it, for a week, 7 times, and you look at everything, it's like, it's well built. Just looking at, can you imagine this? On both ends of this, the people on the inside are just looking, these guys are freaks. These guys are just goofballs out there walking around the wall. The guys that walk around the wall are just looking, just going, wow, that is quite a wall. And they're supposed to take the city. And God says, yeah, just go walk around the wall. But it makes it so much more powerful when it comes to the point in time when the wall comes down. Because they know they couldn't take it down. It was of faith. They believed that God could do what they knew they couldn't do. Isn't that what happened when we gave our lives to the Lord? That idea of God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. I can't make myself right before God. I know I'm not right before God apart from the work of the cross and what Jesus has done on the cross. But that's the connection in faith, believing God for what he's done and knowing that he can make us right. And that wall comes down and we can have that open relationship with the Lord. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. You remember the one gal that kind of protected them? I like this, that she did not perish with those who did not believe. She believed. She believed as those guys came and bore witness and testified that, hey, God was doing something amongst them. And she believed them, remember, and she protected them. And remember, she had received those spies, it says, with peace, and she took care of them and hid them, remember? And then they sent them off on their way. And she said, remember me when you come back. She said, yeah, just put out your, you know, the scarlet thing, you know, and so that the little flag. It's like us. You say, hey, the Lord's there. We know he's there. We're watched out over. But victory now, even over in the battle and the death, ultimately, she was protected. She didn't perish with those who did not believe. There were those who did perish. There are those who perish. They leave the planet without the person of Jesus Christ, and it's a horrible, horrible thought. But the Bible declares that, and we can fight that, and we can argue about that, but the reality is that's what the Bible says. That's what God says. This is God's creation. This is God's design. This is he can do things how he wants to do them. And what more, I love this statement that he says in verse 32, and what more shall I say? So what else can I talk about? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. He says, man, I could go on and on and on. All of them and their lives of faith, what they did and how they did it and how they lived. And it says, who through faith, in verse 33. Now, when we read through this, this is a listing of specific situations that occurred, who through faith. So when we read these, every time, you've got to put faith in front of it, okay? So every time when you think about this situation, faith goes in front of it. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Who through faith worked righteousness, who through faith obtained promises, who through faith stopped the mouths of lions. That seems like an enormous amount right there, doesn't it? Does it say because of their own personal strength, their own determination to persevere? Does it say that? It doesn't say that. What I love about this is it creates a complete level playing field for all of us. Because some of us have more determination than others. Some of us have more willpower than others. Some of us just do good at life. Some of us just stink. We don't do good at life, you know? Marriage can be preserved through faith. That's how marriage can be preserved, isn't it? Through faith. Hey, we're going to trust God. God's bigger than us and our problems. Because some people just do marriage really good. You know, some people don't. But through faith, we can all have the victory. Some people do life good, some people don't. But through faith, we can all have the victory. So it creates this level field. You know, some people had the strength that maybe they could wrestle and stay in the ring a little longer with the lion. Some people didn't make it very long. Some people, by faith, as we read, it says, stop the mouths of lions. Pretty radical. Who do you think he's talking about? Remember Daniel? Thrown in, dropped in there in the lion's den? The ruler just like, gosh, he's kind of bummed he's got to do this because he likes Daniel, but yeah, he issued this decree. He's trapped by his own words and he's got to do this. Feels bad about it, but he actually encouraged Daniel. Yeah, well, your God's going to take care of you. But you know, it wasn't just him that believed that. Daniel believed it too and was watched out over. God protected him. Can you imagine? They open him up. You're thinking that, you know, these hungry lions, you're thinking, what are you going to find, you know? Nothing. I can't wait. I hope this tape plays again when we get to the other side. I hope that DVD, we can just stick it in and watch it. But can you imagine how cool it's going to be? Yeah, just slide that thing over so we can look down and look into the little den, the lion's den, where we, you know, put the lions and drop Daniel down in there. Can you imagine sliding the thing back and looking down in there? Because it's probably dark in there and stuff. You get a little lights coming through the thing, and you look down through there, and you're looking around, and oh, there's all the lions laying there sleeping, and Daniel's just using one of them as a pillow, you know? Can you imagine? By faith, at peace, just trusting. Let's read on. By faith, quenched the violence of fire. By faith, escaped the edge of the sword. By faith, out of weakness, were made strong. By faith, became valiant in battle. By faith, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, that's not spaceship. That's just foreign people that were attacking them. I just got to be clear. By faith, women received their dead, raised to life again. By faith, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, not willing to recant in their faith. That's basically what that means. They weren't willing to recant, to just say, oh yeah, no, I'm denouncing, you know, Jesus is king and only Caesar's king or only Pharaoh's king, or, you know, as you go through the scriptures. Expecting, wanting to obtain that better resurrection. Still others, and I like this as we read on in verse 36, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. You know, I believe Paul was the author of this, but either way, it seems very Paulian in his writing in many different aspects of it, but we all agree. We know it's the scripture. We know it's the Holy Spirit. We understand that. But when you read this, you think, I wonder if it were Paul, and he's penning this, and he's thinking of the things that has happened to him by faith. What about those scourgings that you experience? Those things where you just feel beat down. What about that? God wants you and wants me to endure those. How? Oh, by your own strength and by your own ability, by your own way to just kind of grasp that and figure it all out and apprehend and understand all of it. Good luck. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What we need is to look at those situations and go, Lord, you know. And by faith, I trust you with my life. I don't know all of this, but you do. I'm going to let you work me through this. Let you carry me through this. That's basically this idea here. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. Think about our brother in Iran and the things that he has gone through as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is a brother just like you and I, a man, a brother just like you and I. And think of what he has gone through and what he has endured for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. An imprisonment such as this, and he's enduring it, I guarantee you, by faith. They were sawn in two, some of them, were tempted or tested, were slain with the sword. Some of them were thrust through and killed. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. In other words, he's saying they were basically discards from society. Not all of us might perceive ourselves in that. Maybe some of us feel that we have a fairly high station in this world, and I can high-five you. That's awesome. Good for you. Some of us kind of identify with this a little more than others, maybe, that, gosh, I might have fit in with the discard pile, you know, one that was just kind of discarded. Some of us might feel like that, might know inside ourselves, yeah, I probably would have been a discard from the general main flow of society. But the idea is that, man, we're in good company as we see those by faith, trusting in God, even though the world might discard, even though they might want to afflict us, even though we may end up destitute in that sense, of whom the world was not worthy, is what the author here says. Of whom the world was not even worthy. Why? Because of faith. You see, we are entering a time, I fully believe this to be true, where our faith will be stretched and tested more than ever. I think we're living in those times. There are many gatherings that are called Christian gatherings. There are many gatherings that are called church. And I am for those who are for God. I am for those who are sharing the simple truth of the gospel message. But I tell you, largely the gatherings that we have in the United States are a country club gathering. There are vast majority of gatherings in the name of Jesus Christ that won't even use the word sin. They don't talk much about the blood. And they pacify a lot of lifestyles and sinful things just because they want numbers. But that's not revival. That's not what the Bible talks about. That's not what we've seen through the history of the church for the last 2,000 years, of which those of us who proclaim Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior would identify with. Our obligation as Christians is to desire to please God, and it's going to be by faith in Him. There are many graduating from higher educational facilities, groups, and get all kinds of degrees, which is awesome. I think that's wonderful. But walk out not even really believing in the work of the Spirit, nor do they really believe in truth anymore that could be considered an absolute. They are more persuaded that it is something that is subjective. Truth is what you want it to be. Is it truth to you? Well, good. Who's God to you? Well, good. Follow that. This whole idea of follow your heart, I don't buy in on that either. I've read through my Bible, and Jeremiah said, my heart is wicked and deceitful. Should I follow my heart? Should you follow your heart? Oh, I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily that good an idea. I don't remember who it is. Is it Princess Leia or one of the Disney characters thought that that was a good idea? I don't remember which one, but one of them said it was, I don't want to slander Princess Leia, but I don't know who it was. But one of them, you know, just follow your heart, you know? It's like, well, that's not going to work out too good. Why I'm saying this is that these are things that the world is saying. And the church is embracing this as if it were the gospel. You see, the truth is, the Bible declares regarding the gospel is that it has the power to change lives. I was a blasphemer. I was a drunk. I loved to party. I enjoyed carousing. easily could have fallen into a category of a womanizer at one point, could easily have headed that direction. This is not who I am today. I'm talking about without Christ, that's who I was. I used to like to smoke dope. And yes, young people, it will make you as the word. I don't care. I don't care who legalizes it. Dope makes you stupid. I can't tell you the countless hours. Anybody who ever smoked dope knows you sit around and you start looking at magazines aimlessly for hours on end. It's just a waste of your time. There's no comprehension, nothing cognitive. Justin, you're laughing awfully loud. I'm concerned about this a little bit. But and it's not because of his tattoos that I singled him out. He was actually laughing loudly. But you get the idea. Man, we are a weird, eclectic group. But the one thing that we have in common, it isn't our degrees. It's not our super cool hairstyles. That as you get older, your hair kind of does one thing, you know? And if it does that, you just stick with it, you know? But you get what I'm saying. We're not, that those things aren't the common denominator. The common denominator is at some point in our lives, we bowed our lives to the creator of the universe and said, I give up. This isn't working. I'm not doing life very good. I'm living a life that's distant from God, and I've got a heartache. I've got a hole in my heart that's the size that only God can fill, and it's the shape that only God fits in. And God designed us that we would seek him out. And that's what we really have in common, is this relationship with God. In Ephesians, I would like to read this one verse out of Ephesians and we'll close. Ephesians, in chapter 2, he starts off that as you he made alive. And then it lists out who were dead in trespasses and sins. And it just talks about who we were without God, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. And then I love verse 4. They're always good to look for, but God. Find the but God in your Bible, man, and you're going to find great truths. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, all of us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He wants you and I to be those things that stand as a special treasure representing his grace. Unmerited love, unmerited favor. He loves you unconditionally. He loves me. That's the amazing thing about God. He just loves us. He just loves you, and he accepts you, who you are, right where you are. And he wants to come into your life and make your life even better. And then it says, and this is kind of what ties to our message today, for by grace, that unmerited love and favor, you have been saved. That's how we came to know God. That's how we got delivered from this life that we are leading apart from God. And how did we get saved? It was through faith. It was through that simple faith, just believing God. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. The idea is the life of faith is mapped out for us by God. And we just have to walk in it. We just have to walk in faith, trusting God, and we just stay on the trail. It's amazing. It's a wild journey oftentimes. It's exciting. It's difficult. But it is a life where we just know, hey, I started here, but I'm going there. You see, I don't know all the nuances of what happens between here and there, but I do know where I'm going. I have an ultimate destination. I have a divine appointment with the Creator. And I'm excited, and I'm going to make that appointment, just like you, those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ. And we need not fear the transition. But the days in which we live are very challenging. And I think they will continue to be very challenging. Because there's so much that's propagated that it's talked about as if it were Christianity. And yet, weigh it up against this. Be a part of this that talks about what Christianity is, what the Word of God says Christianity is. And it is always going to be by faith. Because you see, not of works. Not of works. You see, even in Christendom, we find too much boasting, don't we? It shouldn't be what we're about. We're about grace, God's unmerited love and favor. He loved you. He loved me. While I was living a life apart from him, he still reached out and he loved me. And he still does that today. He reaches out to you and loves you right where you're at and wants to have that ongoing relationship. But again, it is through faith, not anything else. This journey that we're on, if you're trying to live it any other way than faith, you're going to find this rub between you and God. Because it'll be you trying to do things, and it'll cause this friction between you and God. Just live the life of faith. Trust him. It's how we started. It's how the trail goes. And it's how we're going to finish. It's all going to be about faith, trusting him.